Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, if you would please, in your Bible. And let's stand together. It's so good to see every one of you here in service this morning. And in just a few weeks, I guess you'll get to get together in all one service. And I'm sure pastor's looking forward to that. Nothing like having the team in the huddle and everybody's there. And you got two huddles going on now, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. And some of you will be, you'll be so happy to see so many friends. I got to see them already. I'm just joking. You have to wait a few weeks. But it was a great, great service this morning. And I'm glad that you're here today as well. Very appreciative of all. Mrs. Gaines, I want to say to you, we love you and your beautiful family there. And thanking God for your husband, Brother Willie and Miss Jerry have been so faithful for so long. 91 years old. And I know it's the first time she's been out for over a year. And we're so glad to have you, and thank you very much. And so many sweet friends, we love you very much. Thank you for the way you've loved us. I love Pastor Delaney, and he spoke so glowingly about our son, Derek. And I am so glad that Derek and Jillian have Pastor and Mrs. Delaney as their pastor. And it caused me to pray for them because Derek's a hot ticket. He's hard to deal with, you know, and you got to look up. Ask me, I know. When he was young, you know, he knew I wasn't a rock star, but I could have been the king of pop. Whack, you know, and deal with him. Nah, just joking. He's wonderful, and I love him, and certainly pray for Jillian that she'll have patience to keep on going with him. And glad to see him today serving the Lord. We love you. We're glad that each of you are here. Psalm 84, the Bible says in Psalm 84, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they shall still be still praising thee, Selah." Would you read 5 and 6 with me, everyone together? "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and the rain also filleth the pools." Verse 7 says, "They go from strength to strength, every one of them, and Zion appears before the Lord. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Can you conclude with me, verse 11 and 12? Everyone, please. "For the Lord God is sun and shield, grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man." Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful joy to be a part of this service and to be an extension of Pastor Delaney's daily ministry here. Thank you, Lord, for the chance just to be with friends, some of which I know well, others of which I do not know. But you know us. You know what's going on in the heart. You know what you're moving in, and you know why we're here together. Thank you for all the 1,100 chapters of the Bible, and then for the chance for us to look at this chapter today and to evaluate its truths. I pray that you'd help me to do so under the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Help our listeners to listen with the Holy Spirit's help. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. If you'll let me say hello to the deaf here, and I want to just say hello and good morning to all of you. It is wonderful to see the deaf here being faithful and continuing on for the Lord here at First Baptist. And it is a wonderful thing. My wife and I, we love you and we thank you for being faithful to the Lord here in this church. And this is a great group of deaf. Wow. Many, many churches would love to have this many, many deaf here. And I'm sorry about Brother George, you know. We understand. A little bit different man, but we love him anyway. All right, thank you. What a great group of deaf. Wow, that is marvelous, and I'm so glad that they're here this morning. I love church. I was raised in church. My mom and my dad both got saved before I was born. And so my dad was a first-generation Christian, so he did not know about going to church as a child, but I did. So many good things happened to me at church. I believe that God wants us to love to be with God's people. A church is not a building. It's not a denomination. It's people. Amen. It's people that are called out assembly by God in a location to propagate the gospel of Christ, to love and to put out the gospel, not only locally, but around the world. Amen. And everyone needs a church. God gave us three things so that we could be stable in this life. Number one, he gave us his word, the Bible. Amen. Number two, he gave us his Holy Spirit to live inside of us. The moment someone gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside. He doesn't leave us. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that when we believed, after we believed, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. John chapter 15, the Bible tells us in 16, that once he comes in, he'll be with us forever. So that's a wonderful promise. So if the Holy Spirit came in the moment I got saved and he'll never leave me, then that means I'm never going to hell, because he's not going to hell. And he's in me and I'm in him, and I'm guaranteed eternal life because I have Christ, his Spirit, in me. Amen. So now he's in there. What does he do? He convicts. He challenges. He comforts. He teaches. He connects me with other people. He reminds me of my responsibilities. These are things the Holy Spirit does. And if you're going to be the Christian God wants you to be, number one, you must be a Bible student. You read the newspaper, you study your Bible. The Word of God needs to be at a central part of your life every day. You find 7 days without the Word of God will make 1 week, W-E-A-K. You want a week in your Christian life? Stay away from the Bible. Make it a part, read it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it, think about it. None of us would be healthy if we ate one time a week. You will not be healthy spiritually. Brother Delaney, I love to listen to him preach, but he doesn't have enough nourishment biblically for you to handle, for me to handle it by myself. I need to have every day fresh bread from God and from his word. But God gave us his word. He gave us his spirit. The third thing God gave us was his body, the local church. The church is the body of Christ. Now, it's people. Now, let me just say to you, the Word of God is perfect. Don't mess with it. Let it mess with you. The Spirit of God is God. He's perfect. The church is not perfect. If you ever find a perfect church, do them a favor. Don't join it, because you'll mess it up. There is no perfect church. The church is a place where human beings go. The pastor's not perfect. The people aren't perfect. You're going to bump around and get offended by someone. You'll offend somebody if you stay long enough. Where there's movement, there'll be some friction. But it's still God's plan. Amen. Everybody who gets saved directly or indirectly because a local church did its work. Amen. God calls the local church the pillar and ground of truth. Truth is propagated. There are many churches, buildings in Long Beach and the surrounding area today. But you couldn't find the truth there with a flashlight. You couldn't find out how to get to heaven from there if you wanted to. Because they long ago lost the truth. I want to tell you, friend, everybody needs church. You need it. And you're needed at church. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 25, he reminds us very, very strongly, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. The writer, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, knew there would be people who say, you don't have to go to church. I don't have to go. Why would you have to go on Sunday night? Why would you go on the midweek service? He knew there would be people like that. And there are people who say, you know what, I don't go to church. And people will say, I don't. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't have to go home to be married. But it makes for a better relationship with your spouse. You want a good relationship with Jesus, He's the head of the church. And you're part of the body. You might be the arm. You might be the diaphragm. You might be the heart. You might be the lungs. You might be the toenail. But we need you. Everybody needs everybody else. God didn't make us lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my, no, He made us sheep. Sheep need to be together. They need a shepherd. They need a purpose. They need direction. And they need each other. And as the psalmist says here, this psalm seems to be written by someone getting ready to make their way to the house of God. Now, God can speak to you without being at church. But make no mistake about it, you'll never be spoken to quite in the same way as you're spoken to in church. You say, well, I'm just watching online. And many of you are watching online, and I thank God for the online opportunities. But that's not God's design. That's a temporary fix for a pandemic. That's not God's way. There are some folks who are providentially hindered from coming. But if you can be here, your presence and your participation are needed. We need you, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner some is, but so much the more exhorting one another. People say, well, I just want to go to church where I get fed. I just want to get fed. And they're so information fat and application skinny, it's embarrassing. And they've heard more life-changing messages. They don't even know who they are. But they just, like the Dead Sea, take in, take in. It's all about feeding themselves. I want to get fed. I want the church to do it for me. Listen, Spanky, it needs to be turned around. You ought to look, what, take off your bib, put on your apron. Amen. You ought to find something you can do in the work of the Lord. And the psalmist here says how amiable, how inviting, how wonderful are thy tabernacles. Going to where you meet with your people. It's exciting. He says, my soul, it longeth and it thirsteth for the chance to be there. Let's look at the Bible. He'll say it better than I can. Look at verse number 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. I want you to know here real quickly. I want to give you 4 reasons why I think the local church is a part of our health. Yes, we need the Word of God. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit when you get saved, but you also need to flourish and function within a body of believers. Why? 4 reasons. Number 1, it brings satisfaction and direction to your soul. God made us a 3-part being. He made us with a body, with the soul, and with the spirit. You're different than the animal kingdoms. The scientists want to tell you that you were made, you're an animal. You evolved from an animal. That's junk. The Bible teaches that God created man in His image. Okay, you're different than the animals. And I think evolution's a fairy tale, and millions of years is His magic wand. Just throw millions of years and everybody's supposed to believe it. But nonetheless, the Bible made animals. They're a dichotomy. They have a body and they have a soul. If you've had 2 dogs, you know that one's snippy and the other one's like wags his tail. You pull his tail, they're fine. One likes Alpo, another one likes something else, you know. One likes to eat this and one of them is one's lazy, one's hyper, you know. You just have 2 different personalities there. But there are no dog churches. There are no cat prayer meetings. Or monkey pastors. Few monkey pastors look like monkeys, but we're not. No, they don't have an aptitude to worship God. They don't have that third part. They don't have that third part, which is spirit, which invites us to worship. But that soul is how we think, it's how we feel, and it's what we want. It's why you come to church. It's why you submit to your pastors, your Sunday school teachers. They are watching for your soul. They're trying to help steer our souls. What is our soul? It's how we think about things. It's how we feel about things. It's what we want. It's our mind, our will, and our emotions. And boy, the devil's vying for that. The world is vying to get you to think a certain way about marriage, about reconciliation, about music, about entertainment, about whatever it is. The world is trying. I was driving on the freeway today, and many of the billboards are trying to shape my thinkings, my feelings, and my desires. It's all over the place. You know, when we come to church, the man opens the Word of God, and he says, here's how God wants you to think. Here's how God wants you to feel. Here's how God wants you to do. Here's what he wants you to want to do. And we all need that because our soul gets real squirrely. Sometimes it just doesn't feel right. Boy, people say, well, you listen to the pop stars. They'll all say, just go with your heart. Whatever your heart tells you, it's got to be right. That's junk. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof the ways of death. And everyone needs a church because a church will help satisfy and direct your soul. Amen. Many people are soul sick. They got stinking thinking. They got funny feelings. They got diverted desires because they're soul sick and they need to get to a place where their soul can be satisfied and directed. Amen. Matter of fact, when you come to church, you ought to say, God, what do you want to teach me? What am I thinking that's not right? How am I feeling about stuff that's not true? What am I desiring that's not right? Hey, get me back to ground zero here so I'll know what to do. Why is the local church important? Number one, it's because it brings satisfaction and direction to our souls. Number two, it brings stability to our families. Look, if you would please, at the next verse number three. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. A couple thoughts here that just encourage me. The psalmist says, you know what, I kind of envy the swallow and the sparrow. They can build their nest around the local church. These people, they lived away. And three times a year, God asked the men of Israel to stop what they were doing and come down to Jerusalem. Come down to the temple and spend time there at the Feast of the Tabernacles and Pentecost and Passover. He wanted them to stop what they were doing and get there. You know what God wants you to do on Sunday? Stop what you're doing and come. He wants you on Sunday night, stop what you're doing and come. What happens when you come? Your soul is satisfied and directed. Number two, there is stability given to you and to your family. Good night in the morning. I am so thankful that my dad was a wonderful man, but he never was raised in a Christian home. His mother was drunk most of his childhood, if not all of his childhood. She eventually would die in his adult years early on with cirrhosis of the liver because of alcohol. He and his little brother were kind of left to run over Knoxville, Tennessee and just stay away from mom. They would set up tarot cards and crystal balls on the front porch, and aunts and uncles would come over and goof around with some of those foolish things. He didn't have a good home, but when we grew up in his home, he determined, my kids are going to be in church. And he would find a church, and on a Sunday night, Sunday morning, midweek service, on vacation, we always went to church. Sometimes I would say, Dad, it's okay, let's have Roadside Baptist Church. You just preach to us, Dad. No, we pulled over before there were cell phones, find the yellow pages, flip through and find an independent fundamental Baptist church, went over there, got there before the janitor opened up the building, sat there, waited, got in, and then we left, and he would make us all Sunday school, church, went to youth activities, youth conferences, camps, wherever it is, and not only did that, but they modeled that in my home, as Pastor said, and how thankful I am. D.L. Moody said everybody to live so everybody knows they're a Christian, especially the people that live with them. Especially the people that live in their same house ought to know they're a Christian. Boy, that's something we ought to have. But I'm thankful my dad, and because of that, my brother Matt, my brother Mark, my brother Luke, my sister Axe, my sister Romans, I'm just joking about those. We all have some stability because my dad chose to raise us in a place where the local church was paramount. Amen. It was Sunday morning. It was whenever, whatever's going down in the church. We built our life around the church. You say, well, that's crazy, Pastor. There's a lot more life to do. You'll find out when you stand before God one day if I was right or wrong. But don't wait till then. Why don't you just trust me on this? Why don't you trust? He said, this is a place where we build stability by our activity, by our attendance, by our commitment, by our giving. Why does God want us to give? He doesn't need our money. This church got along 127 years before I ever showed up today, before I came here as a 22-year-old young man to work at this place. It was already going. God had blessed it. He doesn't need my money. Do you know why he wants our money? Because where our treasure is, our heart will be also. Whatever we give to our treasure, when a husband and wife are struggling, what they can do is start investing in each other. Their heart will go. Whatever you give to your heart, you give your heart to a sailboat, you'll be on your sailboat. You give your heart to the stock market, you'll be buying that boring paper, Wall Street Journal. You'll be checking things on your iPhone all the time. Hey, well, how's my stock? Why? You got money there. You start giving to the things of God, your interest will go there. It's a good place to bring stability to your life and to your family. Not only that, does the local church good because it brings satisfaction and direction to my soul. It brings stability to myself and to my wife and to my kids and to others who look to me for leadership. But I think also the Bible tells us it brings strength for seasons of suffering. Would you look with me at the verse we read just a moment ago together, verses 6. The Bible says here, in verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in the Lord, in whose heart the ways of them. Would you read verse 6 with me, everyone out loud together, ready? Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before the Lord. I want you to notice the third reason that God gave us that this pilgrim was looking forward to being in church is because he got strength in church. Strength to pass through the valley of Baca. I don't know exactly where this valley is, and some theologians don't either, but what it means is the valley of tears. The valley of tears. You're going to go through those tears. Every one of us, if you keep breathing, you're going to go through some valleys. No one's life is like this. It's like this and then this and like this and like this. God lets us go through. And I'm glad passing through the valley. No one has a breakneck pace of problems from start to finish. There's been beautiful days in all of our lives, but there have been some hard days. And in the valley of Baca, in the valley of your tears, of loneliness or rejection or difficulties or hurt or financial reversal or physical illnesses or disappointment, in the valley of Baca, God gives you strength. And he says, I let the water fill the pools. You know what a type of water is in the Bible? It's the Word of God. He says, now you are clean by the word that I've spoken to you, by the washing of the water of the word. When we go to church, I wouldn't go to a church that did not preach the Bible. Because at the Bible, you get to hear God's word. And those waters that come off you, that's why you want to read every day, like we take a shower every day. Take a shower physically, but take a shower spiritually. Let the word of God run through your heart and through your soul and fix some things. Go to church and let the word of God speak to your heart like he's speaking right now. God is doing something. And while I'm here, he's speaking through Brother Juan in the Spanish and Brother Nisei in the Cambodian ministry and Brother Kim possibly in the, or Brother Andrew or whoever's speaking in the Korean ministry. God is doing something. The word of God goes forth. And you say, Pastor, I could read this at home, but you'll not experience like you'll experience it. Hearing it taught and preached. And through the valleys of Baca that you'll go through, I've had them, you've had them. We could take time right now and I could just stop and say, Brother Bill, Miss Donna, you tell me your battles and you tell me yours, and we'll go through there. And all of us have them. We have disappointments. We have children that have physical ailments. We have hurts of divorce or pains of rejection, loneliness, disappointments in people in church, disappointment in people outside, financial, whatever your valley is, we all have them. You know what helps you, give you strength to go through them? A local church. What's there? What is there? Well, I think number one, the preaching of God's word is there. Number two, the provocation to pray is there. Jesus said, my house should be called a house of prayer. Boy, when you have prayer time, something happens when you have prayer. God gives you perspective. He tells us here, look at the verse. You can see it. I think it's in verse number 8. O God of hosts, hear my what? Give ear. In valleys of Baca, you pray. You get strength by appearing before the Lord. You know, that's one of the things. Is we go from strength to strength. What the man is saying, I go back to Jerusalem 3 times a year, and I go there, and I go over there, and I worship God. I go to the house of God, and I go back with strength to face my valleys. And I come back, and I go from strength to strength as I appear before the Lord. I am so glad I can go to church more than 3 times a year. I'm glad I can go every time the doors are open and get the washing of the word, the provocation to prayer, the strength that comes through that. And then the protection. Look at verse number 10, and I'll share the closing thought. First, satisfaction, direction to my soul. That's the benefit of a local church and the blessings of a local church. Number two, the stability for me and for those who depend upon me. The strength for my seasonal trial. All trials come in seasons, and they come for reasons. They're not easy, but they are strengthening. And the Bible tells in James 1, we ought to praise God for our trials. We ought to pray for wisdom in the middle of our trials. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask him God. And we ought to persevere through them. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Because he loves God. God will reward you for that. But you'll need the strength. And then the last thing, it stimulates me to serve the Lord. Look, if you please, verse 10. Can we please? You're looking at it with me? Let's read it together. For a day in thy courts is better than a... I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Say, Pastor, what's the big deal? The blessings of a local church is because it stimulates you to do something with God. I'm not interested in doing things for God. I'm really interested in doing things with God. We're laborers together with God. But I kind of like that. But you know why God wants us to assemble? Because it's at church that we get stimulated to do something. To my knowledge, there is no reward for well done, thou good and faithful spectator. People who just watch the world go by. Oh, we just do this. I'm just glad to see this happen. That's great. No, every one of us ought to have a job to do. Amen. It's at church we're stimulated to do that. Here we find, first of all, their simple task. A doorkeeper in the house of my God. A doorkeeper was about the lowest job you could do as a Levite. Is open the door for people. Oh, there were some people that kept the fire burning. There's other people who taught the word of God. There's other people who did the sacrifices every day that they would come and do. There were other folks who went to the Holy of Holies there. But anybody can hold the door open. It was a simple task. Everybody ought to have something simple you do to contribute to the First Baptist Church of Long Beach, if this is your church. Don't quit doing that. Find something to do. It can be simple if you want. Number two, it's not only simple, but he said the Lord will be a sun and a shield. You know what a sun does? It gives you direction. Oh, it does give warmth to us, but it gives direction. You know, God wants to direct you. He'll direct you to what needs to be done. It might be a bathroom that needs to be cleaned. It might be a bus that needs to be purchased. Some of us, we're older. We cannot do with energy that we used to do. We ought to do something with urgency. Some of us, we can give more aggressively as an older person than we could when we were in our 20s and 30s, raising kids. You can do more with your checkbook. You can do more with your energy, urgency, than you can with your energy. Hey, all of us ought to do something. It could be a simple task, but God will direct you. I can't help but think if any of us didn't say, God, what do you want me to do with you this week in our church? You could talk to your pastor. You could talk to someone that's in authority, your Sunday school teacher. I don't want to just come and sit, soak. I remember years ago teaching the single focus Sunday school class. I was so blessed. All I really had to do in that class was show up and teach. Because I had good people who just stepped up and said, Pastor, you're busy as a one-armed paper hanger. We'll bring the donuts. We'll do this. We'll get the room cleaned up. We'll bring the water. We'll do this. We'll welcome the people. We'll take the roll. All I had to do, you know why? They just jumped in. They helped me. They were simple tasks. They were directed tasks. They're also protected tasks. The safest place you can be is right smack in the will of God for your life. Amen. The only thing about the will of God you and I ought to be nervous about is missing out on it. And if you're not careful, before long, you'll be 40, 50, 60 years old, and you've done nothing with the salvation that God gave you. God tells us we're saved by grace, plus nothing, minus nothing. It is not anything we can do. Salvation is 100% what Christ does for us. But after we're saved, we're His workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works. James says, if you have faith, show your faith by your works. The Bible tells us, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, understanding you're going to spend time with God. Hey, you ought to put a lot of stock in eternity. You're going to spend the rest of your life there. Jesus said while He was here, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, in Colossians chapter 3. And then He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth does not corrupt. James says in chapter 5, he says, you rich men, people that have more than they need, you weep and howl for the misery that's going to come upon you because you kept too much. I gave you all that and you kept it. Your cloth, your clothes are moth-eaten. You know what moth, where moths, they don't follow us into church this morning. You know what they are? They're in a closet where there's too many clothes. When some of them should be taken out and put into circulation. Your gold and your silver are cankered. They're just turning cankered and black and green. Because all you're doing is saving stuff you should be using for eternity. Don't do that. You're living for pleasure like an ox that's getting filled with all that grass just so he can get killed. And he's not doing anything for anybody else. That's sometimes what happens in us. And we've got to realize it's at church that we're stimulated to do something for the Lord. A simple task, a directed task, a protected task. An empowered task. Look at the next thing. The Lord will give grace and glory. You know what grace is? Grace is God's help. It's God's supernatural help. That's how we get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. Then I would say lastly, and I conclude with this. And by the way, everybody will do something. I remember hearing a story about a guy named Sam Jones. Sam Jones was a preacher, and he would come as an evangelist. He would preach Sunday morning, Sunday night. He'd preach hard on sin. Oh, you got to get right with God. You got to quit this sin. You got to stop that because you know you can't be one with God until you're two with sin. You can't have a right relationship with the Lord until you separate from sin. That's why James says, you adulterers and adulterers, know ye not that being a friend of the world is an enemy of God. We've got to figure it out there. He would preach hard on that. And Thursday night, they were having testimony time. What are you giving up for the Lord? What are you going to quit? And boy, people said, well, I was drinking, I'm going to quit. I was talking back to my mom and dad, I'm going to quit. I've been a gossip, and I'm going to quit. And they were just telling things they were going to do, and they were going to quit. And after about 15 minutes and 15 testimonies, a little old lady in the front, second row, she stood up and she said, Brother Jones, I ain't been doing nothing, and I'm going to quit. If you ain't doing nothing, quit. Find something to do for the Lord. You want to be involved in that. Because lastly, the Bible says He'll give grace and He will give glory. Rewards. Most of us don't serve God because we have a low opinion of His rewarding process. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that believes God must believe two things, that He is and that He is a rewarder. The reason people don't give their life, their talents, their strength, their kids, their money, their service to the Lord is because they don't trust Him. They trust their employer. They'll work really hard for years. They trust them to pay them, give them a raise. They don't trust God. And that's why we live such low lives, because we have a low opinion of Him. And faith is the most important thing about us. But he'll give grace and glory. Last thing, he'll withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Listen, friend, I've wasted a lot of time in my 53 years of living. I've wasted a lot of time. I've wasted energy. I've done some really dumb things. But I've never wasted anything. God's never wasted anything I've given to him. If I give him a little, he's blessed me a lot. If you try it, you'll have the same testimony I have. No good thing. Why is church important? It satisfies my soul. It stabilizes my life, my family. It strengthens me when I go through those valleys of tears. And it stimulates me to do something for a God who did everything for me.